God wants to use all of us in a big way. I want to start there today. I just want to confess to you that I'm amazed that Jesus Christ would save a sinner like me. I'm still amazed. Nathan, I'm still amazed that Jesus Christ would save a sinner like me. How many of y'all are still amazed that Jesus Christ would save a sinner like you? I don't know about y'all, but I'd sin against God. When I look at the Ten Commandments, they scare me to death. Because everything it said, do not, I did. Any of y'all in that same problem? And so what in the world are we going to do since we messed up? God says you can't do anything, but I want to tell you, there's a God that loves us so dearly that he has come to us. His name is Jesus. Everybody got that? Okay, and I want to tell you, today we're just going to look at, you got to tell it. Okay, if you know it, you got to tell it. There's a world that needs to hear it. If you know it, you got to what? If you know it. How many of y'all are glad to know that Jesus Christ does want to live in you? He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants to be with you. And so we tell it. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. And I kind of want to set you up for the year, you know, that God's real. And I think all week long, it's been messing with me. I'm just going to go ahead and share. It's been messing with me all week. I'm still amazed that Jesus Christ is real. And I don't know, I hang out sometimes with church people. I try not to do that very often, but you know, I get around church folk and sometimes they don't seem to be amazed. They don't seem to be amazed that God would save sinners. I'm still amazed that God saves sinners. Because if Jesus Christ doesn't save, I'm in big trouble. Any of y'all in that same dilemma? I mean, let me help you. If Jesus doesn't forgive sin, I'm hell out of luck and headed to hell in a big way. Without Jesus, I find hell. I just want to get that real about it. Some of you parents are, well, I don't want my child to hear about hell. They need to hear about hell. You're not going to coddle them into salvation. It's time to get the truth. God's power is real. Jesus' power is real. I mean, aren't you amazed that it works? You wake up different. I just want you all to know, I'm kind of like Paul. I can say this now, live long enough to tell you this. If you see any good in me, you blame it on Jesus. If you see any good in me, you better blame it on Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't there without him. Oh, I could be nice because I wanted something. How many of you, even you nice people, most of the time you're nice because you want something. Like attention. Or maybe you'll get this if you're real nice for a period of time, you know. Sometimes, like, if I wanted to trade trucks, I'd be, you know, nicer to Elizabeth. I might even clean the house every once in a while. But I was working on a project. You see what I'm saying? I don't do a whole lot out of pure motive naturally. Do any of y'all? How many of y'all are just naturally good? You just wake up wanting to do the right thing all the time. Any of y'all like that? But apparently I hear that because when I go talk to people, when I go tell it, they tell me this. They tell this back to me. Well, preacher, I'm a good man. Preacher, I'm a good woman. Preacher, I don't need to be saved. I'm as good as anybody you got in your church. But boy, that's setting the bar high, isn't it? You know, you can look at me and I've made better decisions than you have. Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree. But you've made one decision that you're yet to make that would change everything. I said, I'm one decision up on you. Here's the decision. And we're all got to be confronted with the decision. Is Jesus real? What do you think? And if he is real, then we're going to have to start telling. Have y'all heard that this week, this month? We're going to have to start doing what? Now listen, and don't be obnoxious when you tell it. Just what? See, here's what I look at it like this. Look at all the tellers we have in this congregation. We got like Cool Breeze people. We got techie kind. We got every kind of human being in Hillview that God has created. Isn't that neat? And that's God intended. Every kind of different human being. That's what I love about our church. You cannot, there's not a Hillview specimen. We got people here that have got degrees, you know, that just, I mean, they've been to college so long, they're still in college. They got paper after paper. And we got some people here that can't even spell paper. And guess what? God uses them both. I'm with you, Jim. And God uses them both in what? Tremendous ways. Because I want to start here today and I want to finish here today. It's about Jesus. If you don't mind, if you'll tell your neighbor, your worshiping neighbor, it is about Jesus. Come on. It is about Jesus. Come on. Share it. We're working today. Tell them it's about who? Now that sounds simple, especially to some of you all who've grown up in the church. You go, duh. You'd be amazed how many churches today it'll be about everything but Jesus. It'll be about what clothes you got on. It'll be about what Bible we're going to read out of. It'll be about, is my theological stream of thought correlated, my doctrinal thought correlated to yours. It'll be about everything but Jesus. But today I want you to know, not only is it about Jesus, it is Jesus. That's the story I got to tell. So heads up, go with me to Acts 1, and I want to tell you why we got to tell it, because it's real, because it works, because there's power in the name of Jesus. He gave them some instructions. He told them in Acts 1, move up to about verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. What did he tell them to do? That dreaded word, what? Wait. Now, you can't tell it till you get it. Does that make sense? Now, you can talk about Jesus, but you really can't tell it till you get it. How many of y'all got a testimony? See, I got a testimony. You got a testimony. Johnny Moser, you got a testimony. You told it the first time we deer hunted after you got saved. Johnny was up and he said, man, I've never seen deer sober before. That's what Johnny looked at me and he goes, I go, what do you mean? He said, I never deer hunted sober till I got saved. Now hold on, guess what you call that? Changed by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, you ought to give God praise. Changed by the blood of the Lamb. And I was glad, since we both had guns, I was kind of glad that Johnny had changed him while we was up there. You know what I mean? I didn't want him to be seeing double and me be one of the deers. You know what I mean? That'd have been bad. You see, God's changed us. Brent Clark, you've been changed by the blood of the Lamb. True or false? And I've watched him change you over and over again. He's changed me over and over again. I want to bring testimony today. I'm going to preach a little bit today. It is about the grace of God. And it's not about anything else. And Hillview, I want us to go back to that. Sometimes we got to go back to the fundamentals to get it right. We got to go back to the basics. Y'all know I coach a little football. Guess what I say 1,000 times? Head up, head up, head up, head up, head up, head up. Shoulder square, head up, head up. Next week, guess, head up, head up. Michael Bush, how many times you heard us say that while you was over tossing balls? And, you know, we linemen were working. Michael was a quarterback, you know. They're pretty and nice and sweet. They do this at practice. They throw balls at each other. And I'm down there, got these big old boys like Red rolling in the dirt so Michael doesn't get hurt. And he hears us yelling all the time. One day he goes, what do you yell for? I said, these are not the smartest members of your team. head up, basic, basic. Because let me tell you what, if you don't have the foundation, you'll never have the house. And I'll tell you what the church is trying to do today. It's trying to see the kingdom of God without the foundation, the cross, and the resurrection. And we're fixing to see some major blunder. It's not about videos. It's not about lights. It's not about stages. It's not about the latest book. It's not about tattoos. It's not about haircuts. It's not about all that jazz. It's about Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. It's about the blood of the Lamb getting in the blood of humans so they no longer have to be what they used to be, and now they can be what God made them to be. That is the celebration of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? I'm still amazed. I'm amazed at how God loves you and loves me and wants to tell the rest of the world about it. He said, wait till the power comes. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit or into the Holy Spirit or in the power of the Holy Spirit. All three of those translations work there. How many of y'all glad to know that there is the power of the Holy Spirit? It is real. He is real. The Holy Spirit is real. Somebody say, I get it. I get it. Come on, Chris Allen. I get it. I'm going to tell you, Chris Allen, the Holy Spirit is more real than your forecast.
I agree with that.
That ain't giving him much, though. So hold on. Hold on. Let's go. No, I'm just kidding you, Chris. I'm just kidding. If I didn't kid Chris, he wouldn't think I loved him. No snow this week, though, right? I just want you to know that every time I slide on a road, I blame you, Chris. I figured you as good as anybody. You know what I mean? I remember last year people were getting mad at Chris because it snowed. That Chris Allen, I go, he did not make it snow. I know him. He can't do it. The power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized into it. Now, hold on. Not only are you going to be baptized into it, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been baptized in it. It's in you. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the three are one. They don't come in separate components. And once you get the Holy Spirit in you, guess what the Holy Spirit, guess who he talks about all the time? Jesus, you got it. Guess who he loves dearly? Guess who he wants to tell you about all the time? The Holy Spirit doesn't run around going, did you jump up and down? That's not the job of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you jump, guess what? Hallelujah. That doesn't bother me. But this is not the only Holy Spirit. We get so, watch this. The Holy Spirit allows us to do everything. How many of y'all got an exciting marriage? Watch this. I want you to start living a life. Blame it on Jesus. Hanshel, how have you stayed married as long as you have right now? That's long for Hanshel. How's that happen? Jesus, guess what you just did? You just told it. Yeah. No, I'm telling you the truth. People are starting to ask Elizabeth now. I don't know, maybe. You know, people think Elizabeth's a lot younger than me. That kind of ticks me off. They do, Ron. I'm telling you, they do. They look and they go. In fact, one guy was with Jerry Hemming one day, and he goes, y'all must have an open church. Of course, Jerry's going, what do you mean by open church? And she goes, well, the pastor's been married before, hadn't he? Because that's a real young woman he's with. Elizabeth's over there just grinning. I said, don't get your grin on. I said, I just look worse than you because you've wore me out this bad. That's what I told him. That's what I told him. Told him the truth about it. Now watch. 29 years. You know who I blame that on? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ allowed us to stay married. He's taking us through the good times, the bad times, the upside down times, the sideways times. Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about telling it. Now, the first thing I want you to know, wait. There's power in you. I want you to hear that this morning. Wait, there's power of God in me. God has forgiven me of all my sins. How many of y'all agree with me on that? God has forgiven me of all my sins. Now I tell you, live accordingly. Now God has built us to tell it. His first commission, tell it. And so today I just want to encourage you. Be in Jesus in all that you do. Not some of what you do, but what? All that you do. How many of y'all found Jesus to be a great way to live? All right, this ought to be in your heart. How many of y'all are more loving now because of Jesus Christ in your life? Yay or nay? Come on, talk to me today. Yay or nay? We'll sound like the House of Commons here in just a minute. Yay or nay? Yay! Jesus is that. Now check us out. He says, you wait and I'm going to send the power. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? Oh, they're just like us. They're so human. Jesus is fixing to do something supernatural and forever, and they're asking about a governmental issue. Jesus said, no, I'm not. He said, that's not your business. Now, some of y'all are going to start chasing end-of-time events. Don't chase end-of-time events. I just want you to give a heads up. Quit worrying about all that stuff. You know when it's going to end, when it does. Now, you women know this. How many of y'all, when you were carrying a child, you wanted it to be over a lot sooner than it was? Yeah. I've seen some of you girls out here in July, and you thought it'd be a good idea to get pregnant until it turned 100 degrees. And you're out there walking around, and you're not saying this is the day the Lord has made. You're saying, may this day be over with soon, right? And guess what? When was that baby born? When it's time. It was born at the right time. You know when things are going to end? When they end. That's not our job. And don't get distracted by that. Don't listen to all these preachers that are telling you when the end of time is. All they do is selling a book. If they literally believe the end of time was soon, they'd give you the book. Listen, learn how to think. God gives you credit for thinking, okay? If you notice, we're created different than all the other creations. We do have the ability, well, some of us have the ability to think. It's not about when he comes back. It's about, are you with him now? Somebody hear what I'm saying. Are you with him now, church? God has created us in grace to be witnesses to his activity. That's what's going on here at Acts 1:8. And the Holy Spirit washes over the people. If you go to Acts chapter 2, and we'll go there next week, as soon as the Holy Spirit hits them, guess what? Peter starts preaching. He doesn't preach the Holy Spirit. He preaches Jesus crucified and resurrected. Y'all hear that here? Y'all hear about Jesus dying on a cross and rising from the grave? How many times you hear about that here? Gee, wonder why. In fact, I heard somebody the other day say, I ain't going back to Hillview. That's all Ayers preaches on, getting saved. I accept that. Because guess what that dude don't know? He's going to die. And the Lord is going to ask him for his favorite perspective when he dies. He's not going to ask him which song he liked. Or did he understand the depths of the, you know, ecclesiastical movement of the church. But do you know that Jesus died for your sins? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Do you know that the old rugged cross is still the old rugged cross? And do you know that only through the cross is humanity's sin forgiven? And guess what? When it is, we're resurrected to a new life. How many of y'all got that going on? And when you do, guess what? You're going to stand amazed. Just amazing. I'm still amazed that he saved. But guess what else I know, brother? He'll save you and that beautiful lady behind you and this one over here and that one over there. And guess what? God loves all the people here on the earth. What do you think about that? And he tells us to do something. It's where we're going to end today. It starts with Jerusalem. He said, you will be my witnesses. If you don't mind, just look at you. Nathan, you are a witness. You are a witness. To what? And what is that gospel? You're a witness that Jesus died, and you're a witness that Jesus is alive. True? And you've been a witness. You've rolled around all over the country telling them that Jesus is Lord. Guess what God's going to tell you one day? Good job, good and faithful servant. I gave you little and you did much, so now I'm going to let you see much more. Yay? I read somewhere that you're almost 30 years old now. About time for you to finish that PhD. At 30. Watch this. Nathan, the doctor said you weren't going to live this long, didn't he? That's wrong. See, I'll get it that real with you. I'll get it that real with you. You know what Nathan is? He's a witness that the blood is real and the resurrection is certain. He's a witness that what they say is not as strong as what God has said. He's a witness. Yeah. Some of y'all can't get up early and come to church, and Nathan rolls around the nation to tell them life's worth living. How can he be full of joy and some of you all are depressed when you get a hangnail? Guess you had 6 weeks of therapy. You know why? You don't understand. He's forgiven you of your sin. He's a risen Lord. He's an every moment God. He knows every hair on your head and every one that's fallen out. And he's got a plan for your life and he won't let go. Man, once you get there, you're going to go on and be a witness. Isn't that interesting? It just comes out. It just comes out. And tell them. Tell them. That's what God said. Tell them who I am. Well, let me tell you, that's where we are. We're on the tell it. I want to give you a quick plan because he said this is where the gospel's got to go. You ready? We got to know where the gospel's got to go. Where do y'all think the gospel's got to go? Oh, everywhere. But guess where it starts? Home. Now, there's a rhythm to God. Y'all understand there's a rhythm to God. And you don't break the rhythm. I deal with a lot of young pastors now, and that's just because I got old. These young pastors say, Well, Rev, we mission-minded. We want to reach the world for the gospel. And I said, well, it's hard for you to reach the world for the gospel if you can't reach your neighborhood for the gospel. And it's hard for the gospel to get to the next house if it isn't in your house. You see, young preacher, what you need to understand is you do not have permission to break God's rhythm. God has a rhythm. He doesn't work according to our study. He moves according to His Spirit. So I don't want to violate what the Spirit said. He said, first of all, you're going to be witnesses at Jerusalem at the house. That's the hardest place to be a witness. You know why? They know you. The hardest place I minister is in Bowling Green, Kentucky. You know why? I went to high school with some of you. Sheriff's pulled me over before for violating the rules of Roman 13 where it said, you know, stay in order of the laws. And guess what? I didn't. The toughest place I got to witness, Dr. Earl, is right here in Jerusalem. But God will be a witness in Jerusalem. And then guess where he said we got to go? Judea. Now let's look at it. And then Samaria. And then to the ends of the world. It's in that order. How many of y'all like Jerusalem, though? I like home. How many of y'all like home? I like home. He didn't say we could stay home, but he said we got to start at home. Amen. We don't get to stay home, but we got to start at home. I like home. No matter where I go, I'm always glad to land in Nashville. I'm glad to see pine trees and green trees and hills. And I'm glad when I get back to Nashville airport and I hear somebody say, that ain't right. I'm back home. They don't say that in New York. They don't say it in other parts of the world. That ain't right. I know I'm home when I hear, that ain't right. I'm glad to see cowboy boots, not clogs on men. You know what I mean? I kind of glad to be back. And that's Jerusalem. But guess what? God tells us, then you go to the next place, Judea. From home, you go out a little further. But then guess what? God's also calling our church to Samaria. Guess where Samaria is? Places you don't want to go. How many of y'all got some places you just don't want to go? I mean, if it's in the middle of January, the end of January, 1st of February, and God says, Ayers, I need you to go to Duluth, Minnesota. I'm not excited about that. I am not. I'm saying, Lord, can we wait to July? He said, no, I need you to go now. I said, Lord, that's a Samaria. How many of y'all got some places you don't want to go? See, they can be as close as this. That may be your mom and dad because you're scared they're going to say no. It may be your brother who's just been living a wild and crazy life. It may be your sister. There'll be some places you don't want to go. But guess what? He said, you got to be my witnesses in Samaria. Samaria was a place that no Jew wanted to go. But God saved them. And then from there, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the what? Earth. If we'll just follow Jesus, here's going to be the ride. We're going to end up in the ends of the earth. Is that pretty cool? So we don't have to go plan all these countries to go to. The gospel's already prepared for all of these countries. And it's already started happening. We've been in Guatemala. We've been in Costa Rica. We've been in Brazil. We've been in Africa. We've been in Europe. I mean, Russia, God's that's Europe. But God's opening up all this kind of stuff. Okay? He's opening up places. Why? Because we got a missions program? No. Because you see, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, that's just your rhythm to tell the world that Jesus is real. Now, here's what I know. You can't tell it till you get it. So, you know, there's very, very, very few people in the church in America talk about the grace of God. I've studied on it, tried to figure it out. Is that because we are scared to tell it? Or is that because we don't have it? It's a very scary question. You say, well, Pastor Steve, how can that be in America? Well, just admitting that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave, that doesn't save you. I mean, you know, we could cough up a demon, get us a good demon out of hell and sit him right up here and let's have an interview from hell. And I said, Mr. Demon, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He'd say, absolutely. I'd say, Mr. Demon, do you believe that he died on the cross? Was there. Mr. Demon, do you believe that he arose from the grave? He said, well, most certainly. It's caused me a lot of problems in 2,000 years. Mr. Demon, have you ever repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to change your miserable existence? Absolutely not. See, the question is not who Jesus is. The question is, have you received what Jesus does? And he forgives sinners and fills them with the power of the Holy Spirit so that they can tell it and others can connect to it. We're just going to continue to be that church. Are y'all cool with that? Now, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, I'm just going to be really honest. Tonight, we got our membership class. I encourage you, if you've never been to that, to come check it out. It's a good thing to come to, kind of see what we're about. Man, we're a crazy church. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, you might be sitting staring at each other one week. I don't know. Next week, they may have the chairs pointed outside the doors. I don't know. You know, we might come in the middle of February, and they're having church out in the middle of the parking lot. You say, why do y'all do all this crazy stuff? Wayne, whatever, so some might hear. That means that Heather gets up early in the summer and recruits a bunch of people to go to Lake Church, and some of them have been saved. Not all of them, some of them. I want to tell the gospel, brother, in such a way that guess what? All of them will hear, and some of them might be what? How many of y'all got that kind of rhythm, man? Now, here's where I want y'all to quit being frustrated. Have y'all noticed our pastors have been sharing videos to you? Did you notice some of our pastors had to tell you, gee, we shared the gospel with somebody, and what did they say? Nah. Our job's not the conclusion. Our job's to tell it. Isn't it, Trish? We're on the tell it end. So I want to give you a quick way to tell it. You ready? You can just keep this in your head, man. It just flows off your head. Three P's in an R. Can y'all remember that? Spit that back to me. Three P's in an R. Oh, that is weak. Three P's in an R. Okay, watch. This keeps the gospel in your head at all times. He's good. He's good. He's good. He and I are buddies. We're buddies. I wish everybody was as excited as him. World would be saved. First P, God's got a plan. He wants to be with people. How many of y'all find that to be pretty cool? See, you can feel all kinds of stuff in there. God created us. God joined together with us. God put us together. God created us in his own image. There you go. God has a plan. How many of y'all glad? God's plan is he likes us. Anybody excited about that? Well, you need to start there with people. Do y'all realize there are a lot of people who don't even believe God created us? They believe we evolved. Some people believe we came from monkeys. And they think, got a strange faith. Here's what I'm saying. God created humans. Now, don't get in an argument about creation. Don't get in an argument between evolution and that. That's not what I'm here to tell. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. I said, do you believe? They'll go, I don't know. I said, well, do you believe there could be a higher power force, supernatural, beyond you that might have created you? Well, I guess. Deep Space Nine. Okay, Deep Space Nine out there. Now, we got a problem. Every human being's got this same problem. Guess what it is? Somebody tell me what our problem is. Say it loudly. Sin. Now quit talking about sins. Y'all all like to talk about sins. You know, some people go, well, I don't smoke. I always had a problem with a 455-pound preacher telling me how he had no problem with addictions. I went through a revival one night, man. This brother, man, I mean, he was up there. He sent everybody to hell. Y'all ever been to one of those revivals where they send everybody to hell? This dude had done sent me to hell 4 or 5 times. In fact, when I walked, he get, you know, and he was one of these wind-up guys. He had about 6 chins on him. Had a whole choir sitting up here. And he got on this ramp. Gah! And he'd go, toom, 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 toom. Don't want to live in a smokehouse. God don't want to live in a river of alcohol. God don't want to live looking at them naked girls. God, he goes on through. The only thing he left out was God don't live in a mega mall either. He conveniently skipped that one. Because we all got our stuff. Here's what I'm telling you. Not some of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. Even you nice people, just because you sin politely, you don't get bonus points for that. Where y'all going? Nice hell? I'm sure the devil will greet you at the gates of hell. Say, hey, come on in. It's going to be great. Glad to have you. You were the polite non-believers. And you're going to find out you're in the same location as the non-polite believers. Or the politically correct and those that were incorrect. Because we can't save ourselves. That's our problem. We've all sinned. Y'all pretty well in agreement in that? Now, guess what you got to tell people? They've sinned because we don't sin anymore. Have you noticed that? We have syndromes. We have DNA problems. We have psychological backgrounds that have caused us many difficulties. All that comes from this. Sin! We're fallen. We're fallen. And God puts us back together again. Then we got a provision. That's the third P. How many of y'all glad to know we got a provision, man? We got to tell them about the provision. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only son. His son has a name, Jesus Christ. That he died on the cross, he's risen from the grave. And look what it says. Whosoever believes in him shall not what? But have what? I am crazy because I'm living forever. How many of y'all living forever? Girl, you living forever? That's why you crazy. I'm living forever. See, watch this. When I get old, I'm not getting old. I'm just popping out. My old body starts. One day it's going to even get older, and I'm just starting to pop out, get toward heaven. I mean, if God leaves me here for a long time, I will be a maniac senior citizen. I can't wait. If I live to 80, I'm just going to say what I think. Imagine that. I bet I'll be invited to a lot of pulpits at that age, don't you? Because, see, then I can get away with it. They go, well, now Reverend Maris, he's just got old and he blurts. That's what I love about old people. You know what? They all blurt. You know why? They're getting toward the end and they're telling you the truth. I love it. They're telling you the truth. This is what matters. Jesus is our provision. He died on the cross. Amen? Amen. You got to believe that. That's real. You say, well, how do you know? It's not just because the Bible told me so. I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. Not just because the Bible told me so. I believe what the Bible told me so. And now I can verify I'm forgiven. And he arose from the grave. Don't ever forget that part. He's alive. He's here. It's living. It's going on right now. It's not something that happened way back. It's something that's happening right now. So here's what God said, whosoever. Now, I'm just going to tell you what I found. I know there's some old new preaching out there today. I don't want you all to be confused by it. And people are saying, well, now these people can be saved and these people can't be saved. And I just want to tell you the truth. Only God knows who can be saved. And don't you ever listen to a preacher. I don't care how many little alphabets they got in front of their name. Guess what that means? That means they spent a lot of money to go to school for a long time. Only God knows the heart of a human. And only Jesus Christ can save one. No man, no thought pattern, no function, Jesus only. Now, here's all I can tell you. I bear witness to this. I've never seen God turn anybody down that repented. And I've seen a lot of people, thank God. I've had a blessed life. I've seen a lot of people come and say this. They've said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. I need to be forgiven. And guess what? Guess what? Mr. Shelton, guess what happened? Guess what happened? He came into their lives and forgave them their sin. I've never heard this from anybody. I've never heard anybody come up front or sideways or wherever and kneel down and say, Lord Jesus, I need you to forgive me. And they looked at me and said, Pastor, the Lord said I wasn't on the list. Now, I've never heard that in practicality. Because he said, whosoever confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that Jesus is Lord will be saved. I mean, y'all glad you saved. All right, now, if you're truly glad you saved, I'm going to pray that you get in your heart you ought to want to see somebody else saved. Do I talk about this all the time? Mm-hmm. You know why? People die. Did y'all realize people die? Here's what's so scary. I don't know who's next. But guess what I know? If I leave here in Jesus, I continue on. And if I leave here without Jesus, it's my last breath. So how important is it to know what Jesus said? So we all got to do this. Three P's. God's got a plan. We got a problem. It's called sin. God is our provision. His name is Jesus. And we got to make a big R. We got to respond. We got to repent. Now, this is very, is everybody listening? Because this very, right now, the devil's going to tune your ears out because this is what the church has erred in a very big way. And when I say church, I'm talking church in general. Have y'all ever heard me to ask you to accept Jesus? Not one time, because that's not the gospel. I've asked you to receive. Note the words of Jesus, even in the text today. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you what? Receive what I send. Which leads us to this. Who's in charge? Yeah. Not by my power, not by your power, by the power of the gospel. Jesus. He comes into our lives. He changes our lives. And this is what repent means. I want to change my mind. I want to realize I'm a sinner, and I tell Jesus, Jesus, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I want you to save me. Guess what he'll do?
Save you.
Guess what comes into your life? The power of forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. Now you get the power of forgiveness and the Holy Spirit in you, what's going to happen to you? You're going to tell it. You're going to change. I'll tell you three things that will happen to you automatically under the. This is living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all need to get on the influence of the Holy Spirit? Now, y'all don't have to confess to me, though, but how many of y'all have ever been under the influence of something else? Yeah. I might have had an occasional situation with that. And I noticed that it changed my perspective. Sometimes I saw double what actually was there. But if you were to receive, if you were to digest, if you were to breathe in, it's in you. The power of the Holy Spirit, what it might do. Three things I guarantee you it'll put you the influence under. You'll love more. That's how you see a spirit-filled people. They love people. I love y'all. I mean, there's a love, not just a like, a love. How many of y'all glad to know we're going to end up in heaven together? That's a powerful love. God loves us. Number two, there's a joy, isn't there, Andy? As bad as it gets, I still got hope. How many of y'all got that going on? I'm not saying there aren't going to be some bad things in your life. There's tough things in life. How many of y'all found if you live through some tough things? Just part of life. Guess what that's called? Life. Now, some of us, we let the joy of the Lord be our strength, and others of us whine about the licks we take in life. You know? Most people that got a lot of money been broke 4 or 5 times. But they didn't quit trying. Another thing is this, peace. You're finally okay with who God made you. And boy, that calms a lot of storms. I get to be Steve Ayers, and thank God there's only one of those in Jesus Christ. And you get to be Cynthia Wasson in Jesus Christ. And you get to be Joseph in what? Jesus Christ. God uses us all in amazing ways. Has this made sense today? Y'all got something today? Y'all feel the Holy Spirit in here today? Boy, I do. You know what that means? Somebody going to get saved today. Isn't that cool? I tell you what, I'm still amazed. I never get tired of baptisms. I never get tired of seeing people cry at the altar. 11 o'clock last week, we had this old guy. He couldn't even wait for me to shut up. And he walked right up and I was standing right. He said, "Preacher, I need to be saved and baptized right now." He prayed and repented of his sins and went right to the baptistry. You know why? Because he came convinced. Now, I know there's probably some of you good church people out there going, "Well, you didn't take him through a baptism class first and make sure." Well, what baptism class did they go to in Acts 2? Well, by the way, for some of you Baptists, in what church did they join? Now, I won't talk to you today if you've never let Jesus come into your life. God loves you. He had a plan. He created you. Isn't that cool? He made us a long time ago, male and female. He made them, called us both good. Then we ran into a little problem. There was this tree in the middle of the garden. I mean, we had it going on, man. We was hanging out naked 24-7. Everything was going good. Not a lawnmower one started. Not a roller tiller needed. We were living in union with God. And then we had to just go be human. There was this tree in the middle of the garden. God said, "Don't eat from that one. You can have every other tree in the garden, but don't eat from that." And then there was a snake. A talking snake. Now, I'm glad. That got me right there. Big old rattler come up to me and say, "How you doing?" I'm gone. That'd been a quick story. But apparently, old Eve liked to talk to snakes. You women don't start grinning. Some of y'all married one. Snake started laying his line. Look at the tree. Look how good it is. See, we started wanting to be our own God. And that was the temptation. He said, "Oh, the reason God doesn't want you to eat from that, if you eat from that, you'll be just like him." Guess what we find out? We'll never be like him unless he gets into us. We sin against God. And God loved us anyway. He sent Jesus Christ. There's the provision into the world. Now, if you can reckon with this, listen. You say, Pastor, I don't understand all this. Do you understand this? You have sinned and you need God. You don't have to know how deep the water was when the world was flooded. That's irrelevant. He done told you you're not going to know when the end of time is, so you don't have to worry about that. But here's what you do have to worry about. Have you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my what? Sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on a cross and you've risen from a grave. If you can ask Jesus to forgive you today, I got great news. I get to tell you great news. He's willing to do it. So ask him. Now, for those of you that have done it, need to start telling it. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, in a big way. We got a few empty seats here. Guess what? Don't worry about the crowd here. Bring some more people in. You say, well, I'll lose my parking place. Well, good. You need to walk anyway. You walk the Titans game, don't you? I walk a mile and a half to the Titans game, sit up in the nosebleeds against, you know, in the seats up there about that wide. You know what? And I've never seen any of the coaches go to the 50-yard line and say, I'd like to apologize today for your all's inconvenience. The church is the only place I know that apologizes for inconvenience. I don't. If you had to swim to get here today in cold water, it's worth it to hear what I got to tell you. Your sins will be forgiven. Your life will be set in motion for eternity. It's worth that much. Amen? So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, we need to turn it up a notch. Cool deal? Is that all right? Young men and women, we got to tell your friends. Amen? Most of y'all's generation is not in church. Have y'all noticed? That's okay. They're going to be. And I think they're going to be one of the sweetest, most powerful generations in Christ we've ever seen. But we got to invite them. Amen? One by one. Now today, if you've received Christ, God opened up at 8 o'clock and he's going to open up right now. This is the time to come and receive Jesus Christ. This is the time to come to the altar, believers, to come to the altar and say what? Dear God, I need to tell it and I need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Watch this, the Holy Spirit's in you. Some of you need to ask God to turn up the volume. Does that kind of put a clarity to it? How many of y'all know something's talking to you all the time? You just don't want to listen to it? Because you're scared it might say, go to Duluth, Minnesota. See, he doesn't say that, everybody. Guess what he says right now? Go to the Minute Mark. Go to Warren East High School. Go to South Warren and Greenwood and Warren Central and Bowling Green High and the junior highs. Go to West Kentucky University. And then he'll move you to Judea. Go to Brownsville. Then he'll take you on into Samaria, Morgantown. See what I'm saying? So you never know where he's going to take you. He might get you all the way up to Owensboro, Jim. You never know. Here's what I'm saying. If you just go and tell, I'm telling you, God's going to open up. And it'll be an era of time that we've not seen in our church. Here's what I'm trying to believe on. Can you imagine if everybody in our church told somebody about Jesus once a week, everybody in our church, what would begin to happen to our city? I'm not saying everybody's going to be saved. But I am saying this, a lot more will. I say let's run the experiment at least. What do you think? Try it for 3 months. Easter will be here before you know it. We got an early Easter. You know what I'd love for Easter service to be? We just hang a big cross up there with a big empty tomb. We'll make a big empty tomb up there. And all we'll be able to do is baptize for about 6 hours that day. I think that would be the best Easter celebration Jesus Christ could have. Not a preacher say anything but this. And in about 2.5 hours, Pastor Jamie pass out. It'd be great to get the medics to get him, have to take him, dehydrate him, rehydrate him, all that stuff. Big Jeff, wherever pastor we got out baptized. Or better yet, may every one of you walk in with 3 or 4 folks that have received Jesus because God's used you. And we just got to get wet all Easter Sunday morning. What a testimony. I'm still amazed that today when I give this invitation, the Holy Spirit's going to draw some folks to be saved. Some of you, let's get baptized. Let's get that done with the first of the year. Amen. I'm serious about baptism for this reason. Jesus was. Be baptized into the power. Was baptism by water and was baptism in the Holy Spirit? Both of those are of God. Maybe y'all need to say, Lord, I need to just listen better. God's been calling on you and I need to listen better. So I'll tell it better. Amen. You already got the power. I'm asking you to turn the switch on. Just go do it. Guys, thanks for sharing in your high school. Guess what? I hear reports. Guess what? I look at your role. Guess who I see here every week? Some new person hanging out. Thanks. Guess what you're doing? Telling it. It's not hard, is it? You know? Come hear what God could do. Now, if you haven't been baptized yet, I'm going to encourage you in the name of Jesus. Let's get that taken care of. Especially if you've never asked Jesus in your life. Can you look at me and answer me this question today? Why do people go to hell when they don't have to? Can you all logically explain that to me? Help me find the answer that I've been searching for over and over. I got buddies to this day. I tell them about the gospel over and over and over again. And they go, not yet. I said, so you like the hell you live in? You know what it is? They so caught up in this world they can't hear about the next. Part of repentance is, you know what? I'm going to quit listening to what they say. Start hearing what God said. And God said you can be saved. Amen. Is everybody cool with that? Heads up. Balcony, you got it? Give me a yay or nay. What about the other side over here? Yay. What about in the back here in the blue light section? We're the only church that's got Kmart here. Blue light special. You know? We got the people in the light, people in the blue lights, and people up in the trees. I mean, it's crazy. So you know what? We're going to have some people coming down this altar balcony. Let me remind you, those steps right there have been designed to bring you to the altar. So if you'll step right on, they'll bring you down in here. Guys, Jesus wants to save some folks today. For those of you who haven't been baptized, let's get that done today. Amen? And I'm going to ask you to do this. If you've never told it, I want you to come today and pray and say, God, just show me your power as I deal with my friends. And God will take it from there. Amen. I trust Jesus to encourage you. Y'all been wonderful today. Thanks for showing up to church today, worshiping God, honoring Jesus Christ. Only good things could happen from that. So let's stand together and let's open this altar up. Please don't run off. Pastors will be up here in just a second. And so I just want you to pray that you be saved. Lord, as you draw people to salvation today, may we not step back from who you are. May we tell it and tell the world who you are. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, listen, in the name of Jesus, if you've never prayed this prayer, pray it. God, today I know I've sinned. And, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my what? Tell me, church. Sin. Jesus, I believe you died on a cross and rose from the grave. Now, listen, if that's pounding on your heart and you've never done that, you come up front. Maybe you've been a member of a church for a long time. Guess what? Don't let this scare you. I see it all the time. People been to church and never been saved. I see it all the time. Some of you men, man, I love you guys. Listen, being a good man won't get you to heaven. You said, Pastor, I gave 50 cents to the Kiwanis and 50 cents to the Boy Scouts. You might get your dollar back. That isn't the road to heaven. Here's the road to heaven. Lord Jesus, I can't make it without you. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. So this altar's open. You come and pray. Pray that you'll tell your friend, your neighbor, your co-worker. It might be your wife or your husband or your son or your daughter. But God's going to begin to put a name of a beautiful person in your life, and you'll just share that with them. Tell them about your Jesus. Tell them how real Jesus is to you. So today, let's pray. Let's come and be baptized if you hadn't done it. Let's get it squared away, the front of the year. Let's be obedient to God. And then let's see what kind of power will fall on this place forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Let's worship. This altar's open.